The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
So after some research, I think we found the Chris Verlade and your father Verlade, Papa Verlade's poop game doubleheader. Let's take you back to August 2nd, 1992.
I was seven.
You were seven. So were you fine with leaving?
I remember being like, what, why? Like,
yeah.
I remember being sold on. I think it also too is because I was a little kid, and so like my parents are preparing me, just like, "Hey, we're not leaving early. Yeah. Like, we're gonna go see two games. I don't want to hear any whining about how you want to go or you're tired or something like that. This is an all day thing." I feel like that was a conversation.
Well, let me see. Game one was a thriller, 3-0. Braves scored in the third, scored two in the ninth, only 11 total hits. Looked like it took 2 hours and 47 minutes. Giants had Willie McGee, Robbie Thompson, Will Clark, Chris James, Mark Leonard, Matt Williams, Mark Bailey, Mike Benjamin, and Bill Swift pitched. So 3-0. And the next game, the second game of the doubleheader, oh, much better, but that's the game you guys left.
Yeah.
8-5, Braves. Braves scored two in the first. Giants, though, scored two in the bottom and then scored in the second and in the fifth to have a 4-2 lead before giving up six in the sixth.
See, I want to say my mom would be better at this, but I want to say we left before the Giants had the lead.
So if that were the case,
it was the first inning that we left.
Yeah, 21 hits in that game, 13 runs. You would have missed Kevin Bass hitting two home runs in the game. Mike Felder homered. Wow. Yeah, one of the baseball games I remember, I went to, it was the first time I ever went to Yankee Stadium. I was on a trip there with the Monarchs, and I went with like Jim Cosimore, Chris DeBlanc. And I want to say the Yankees, we were late getting in, and the Yankees homered, I think, in the first. And then they end up losing the game like 8-1. I'm like, oh, I missed their only run and their only home run. But that's what could happen with baseball. So doubleheader today for the A's. Enjoy it if you're going out there. I know there haven't been that's been the other thing too, Chris. I know we've poked fun, I guess. I don't even know if that's the right term, but the A's and their lack of attendance, which 100% makes sense. Man, baseball attendance right now this year has been rough in a lot of parks.
Like St. Louis was incredible.
Yeah. Chicago, White Sox, several teams are having issues. But and the Cardinals are like, that's like a baseball mecca.
That's the thing. Do you guys just think that you're going to move these teams away and everything's going to fix itself?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fix is. Like, you and Dave would be perfect. Like, I still really enjoy baseball. I watch baseball. You guys don't. I'm not saying you should. That's never my point. But I don't. You're the one they need to keep, and they've lost you.
Yeah.
And they lost Dave. And, yeah, I'm sure they want younger people to keep it growing, yes, but you know, there's people older than us that are still watching it, or not. But you guys did, and now you're done. Like, they need to figure out how they lost that group.
It's a lot of the stuff that they're doing now.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and it's not like rules. Like, I feel like they think that, oh, if we change the rules, that will do it. Because every home team has 81 games. Like, are you really going to be charging $40, $50, $60 a ticket for those games? Like, that's, you can't keep doing that.
Yeah. And
I think the A's have that thing right now. Is it $99 for like a season card for the rest of the season?
Okay.
Like, that was what they were doing in 2018 to get fans there. And it was great.
Is it the number of games? That's not it. Or that's a part of it.
I think that's part of it. I think it's also, it feels like the NBA is going longer into the summer.
Yeah.
It felt like the season ended in like the beginning of June.
Yeah. And so and now you can go into baseball if you wanted to.
Yeah. Now you're going like close to July.
Yeah. To me, I think what baseball would need to
also, like, me becoming a soccer fan kind of hurt it.
True.
Because this summer I'm thinking, oh, there's going to be the Euros. There's going to be the Euros. There's going to be Copa America.
Yeah, I would say soccer's hurt. I would say it has.
And it's weird because I'm just like this is a different, because I'm like, with football, I'm just like, I do need that break. I can't just watch it, like, all year long. But with soccer, I'm just like, oh, I can watch this all year long.
Yeah. I wonder, to me, what I feel like baseball needs is some sort of, because they've got all the players, they got enough story, they need like another historical record to be chased. And I don't know what that is. I mean, we've kind of gone through the home runs. If there was someone of note, of intrigue, that was chasing like DiMaggio's hitting streak, if there was someone chasing a home run streak or home run record or, you know, 3,000 hit, like someone that there was a draw to. But I just feel like right now, you know, people just may find out, we have like a generational player. I know he's not pitching this year, but Shohei Ohtani should be probably the biggest sports figure going, and he's not. One of them, right?
I would say, well, the thing is, too, those home run chases were probably like a three-year deal.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was 97. It was McGuire and Griffey going head-to-head. And that was like people didn't start realizing it until later. But it was so fun that it was, oh, is McGuire going to do it this year?
Yeah.
It's just like, so that's what led, like, from April on, everyone's like, oh, is McGuire going to do this? Is McGuire going to do this? So, man, I don't know what you can get people hyped for the beginning of the baseball season.
Right, right. I don't know either. I mean, and I don't know if it will be different this time next year if baseball being literally right here in Sacramento will change things, maybe to some, but I don't know if it'll change it, like, as opposed to, hey, I went to a game versus I'm following the A's every day. I feel like it's more of I went to a game.
Yeah. And the, I mean, next year is going to be so different because it's going to be like, oh, man, the Yankees were in Sacramento.
Right.
It might even be like stuff like, oh, did you see Aaron Judge over at Doco?
Right. Right. More of the people watching, which is kind of what happens at times when the Kings are bad in the NBA and people come to watch some of the other teams.
I remember there used to be like people that would go to the games, have their scorecard out, have like, just the whole setup.
Maybe
there.
Even headsets.
Headsets on, and I just think that that is almost non-existent now.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in any sport, part of me, if I'm calling a game like at Sac State, for example, and there's very few examples of this, but every once in a while I go, oh, someone's wearing a headset. I feel like, hey, they're listening to the football game. Maybe they're not. I don't even know if they're listening to me on the radio do the game, but I want to feel like they are. That used to be a bigger thing. Now it's, look, everybody's on their phone talking to people, getting food, whatever, that's fine. It's more of an event. And I feel like baseball is a good event to go to. It's a very chill and relaxed, like, hey, I can kind of be into the game. I don't have to be into the game. There's not action every play. It's just a relaxing day out. But maybe it is a game thing when you're asked to go 81 times. I can't imagine being a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
In a not even a baseball only market, maybe, but in a, like, if you're in L.A. or New York where there's all those other teams and all those other options, that'd be interesting.
It's weird, too. And specifically in the United States, every stadium, it feels like there needs to be something besides the sport.
Right.
Which is kind of weird. And it might hurt, like, okay, that might get you more people in the arena, but does that get people interested in the game?
Right, because everything's now televised. It's like, well, I don't have to go because I can watch it on, if I really care,
yeah,
I can watch it on TV, listen on the radio, however else you
want
to take
it in. And another, like, ticket prices are just out of control. Like, if there is some way that you could tamper down on that, yeah. like now you're telling teams to stop making the money that they're making,
right?
Which is tough. Like, maybe you've got to come up with some way to get people in the building to be interested in yeah. the sport,
right? And again, I don't think it's a lack of they're stars. The play is good. It's just you know, getting out to a day like today. I mean, again, taking in a doubleheader, I think would be unique. It's a fun gimmick. It's a different idea. They don't happen all the time. To me, that's kind of the charm of it. So you get the A's and Rangers coming up with a doubleheader. All right, when we come back, we will finally get to this. Talking about the Kings and their history of lack of defensive players. Do they have anyone on their roster right now that could ever be considered a defensive player of the year candidate as Gobert takes home that honor? We've got that and more straight ahead here on Sactown Sports.
Michael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
The Kia Defensive Player of the Year from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert.
And now we have a third four-time winner of this award as Rudy Gobert anchoring the number one defense in the NBA. 14 points, 13 rebounds a game. 13 rebounds, number two in the NBA. Number six in the league in blocks. And for Rudy Gobert, this makes the fourth time in the last 7 years
wow.
that he is the Kia NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
All right, congrats to Rudy Gobert. The Timberwolves defense has been great all season long, certainly showing off their most here in the postseason when they are letting them grab and clutch and hold, and that is bothering many people, including Jamal Murray and those Denver Nuggets. So the T-Wolves up 2-0. Gobert takes home his fourth Defensive Player of the Year honors, putting him in that company with Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo, which is kind of where it feels like he is as a career legacy. A great defensive player, a Hall of Famer because of all that acknowledgement, offensive limitations, but has made the Utah Jazz better and certainly has made this Minnesota Timberwolves team better, and we'll see where that ultimately can go for him. But as far as the Kings go, they've now been in Sacramento 39 seasons. Next year is year 40 in Sacramento. And in all those years, they've never had a defensive player of the year. They haven't had an MVP. We've seen them get coach of the year, rookie of the year, sixth man, even though Malik, I think, should have won it this year. Executive, Monty and Jeff Petrie have taken that home. They've had an all-star game MVP. They've had a lot, you know, three-point winners, three-point shootouts, whether it's Peja or Buddy, people in the dunk contest, all-stars, all-NBA. But no MVP and no Defensive Player of the Year. So in their history, Doug Christie, he made it as a first-teamer and really could have won the entirety as the Defensive Player of the Year. He did that once. And three times, Doug made the second-team all-defensive squad. I mean, Doug was so gifted defensively. And Chris talked about it, just kind of the calculations that he would do. And the I loved it. I loved sitting down low during Doug's heyday here. And you could, you know, sometimes when he was guarding the ball, basically right in front of us, you could just almost see him. You could almost see him counting or like calculating like the rhythm of a dribble. And there were times where a guy would dribble in front of him and he would dive and just take the ball away. One way to do it like that. But Doug would make people work. And Doug was a really good defender. And you had Ron Artest the very first year he got traded to Sacramento. He was named to the first team, all defense. But that's it. No other honors in 39 years. As a first or second team. And on the current roster, I don't think they're blessed with, you know, high volumes of great defensive players, though we found it odd that in the Defensive Player of the Year category this year that Domantas Sabonis did get a vote, finished third, one third place vote. And my best guess on that is that they were looking at rebounds. Because I don't think of Domantas Sabonis as a great defender. I think he's okay. But he works hard defensively, gets some deflections, some steals. But rebounding is part of defense, right? Cleaning up the last part of the other team's offense. If you clean the boards, that's defense. So maybe that's where he got the one third-place vote, but I wouldn't mistake Domantas Sabonis for any potential future Defensive Player of the Year nominees. I would say skill set-wise, Davion Mitchell has pretty good defensive ability and instincts, as does Keon Ellis. But I think some name value, recognition, you know, opportunity. Both guys have been either bench players, spot starters. In Ellis's case, a two-way guy that's kind of bounced back and forth and earned a future contract here with this team. But the one who's got a name around the league a little bit more, or two, I would say, and have shown ability to play pretty good defense many times, would be Keegan Murray and or De'Aaron Fox. I think on the current roster, those two guys have the best chance to be on an all-defensive team. But I think it's a stretch to get them to the Defensive Player of the Year category. But I still think it's odd, of all the things that this team has done when they've been here, good and bad, that they've only had Ron Artest and Doug Christie on the all-defensive teams. Going to be 40 years. Obviously, they've been more offensive-oriented. Many years haven't been good enough to be considered probably any kind of defensive threat. I thought Mitch was a good defensive player. But you got to be great. You got to be a difference maker. And a lot of times, like we said, when you're evaluating the Defensive Player of the Year, it seems to be an award that's kind of stuck there for interior defensive guys. Shot changers, shot, you know, blockers, rebounders, those kind of guys. And I think in years to come, this could be a thing that's going to be owned and operated likely, I think, unless you get voter fatigue, which is a thing for people like Victor Wembanyama. So we shall see. But you're looking at that, and you're looking at the Kings and their perspective on how they can get better. Defense certainly is a way. I think on the season, Mike Brown and the staff did a good job of implementing some different principles, making it a point of emphasis, and the Kings did get better defensively as a team. I would say as the year went along, they adjusted to the physical nature pretty well as a defense. I don't think they did as well offensively when other teams were being more physical with them. And I think the league, you know, did a pretty good job of getting what they wanted in a market correction, let's say, of way too much offense to let's taper this down a bit. Let's correct this with being more lenient on lack of calls and allowing more of a physical nature. I think they found the better balance. You know you're going to get that in the playoffs. I thought it was odd, though, that the league wanted that and executed that during the season. I thought that was a bit unfair. Some rosters are more physical and set up that way, where if you knew as a GM that that's what the league was going to do, you could have tailor-made your roster a little bit that way. Now, we didn't know that. Now that you do, and if that's going to be an edict going forward, then I think you have to plan for that. You have to plan for the players that are going to be a little bit more physical by nature, a little bit more hands and hand checking and bump, you know, use their physical play to be a difference as opposed to, hey, I'm getting by my quickness, my speed, my elusiveness as a defender, as opposed to, you know what? No, I'm strong. I'm going to grab you. I'm going to hold. They're not going to call it all the time. And if I can get away with that, then let me utilize all my tools, all my weapons. So I think that's something that I'm sure will be discussed amongst league front offices with the league, or team front offices with the league, I should say, to see what's the best course of action for GMs in drafting, in trading, and free agency and all that stuff, and even their own internal player development, all the ways you get your teams better. All right, still to come, we're going to tell you what to watch tonight. One less NBA playoff game. We got a couple of baseball games to discuss and more straight ahead. And as we go to break, it is concert week here, giving away prizes for you guys all week. We are going to ask for caller number 6 right now at 1-800-920-1140 or 916-332-1140. 339-1140. What we're looking for is caller number 6. And if you are that caller, you will win a pair of tickets to see NKOTB, New Kids on the Block. Sactown Sports has teamed up with Live Nation to get you ready for Concert Week 2024. All you have to do is hit us up on that Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. We're looking for caller number 6 to score a pair of tickets to see New Kids on the Block at Toyota Amphitheater on July 2nd. If you need more information, visit sacktownsports.com. Again, the numbers, 916-339-1140 or 1-800-920-1140. Caller number 6, if you are that lucky caller, you will win a pair of tickets to see New Kids on the Block. All right, we will break when we come back. What to watch tonight, what to follow, what we're going to follow, and still to come, Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins and Celebrity Birthdays. All that as we continue the show here on Sactown Sports.
The best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports.
You didn't like that one?
Not much of a joke.
I know. It's the beauty of Nate. Coming up, Styles and Watkins at the top of the hour. Jason Ross, Christopher Lott hanging out. Early on, you may have heard Carmichael Dave check in on the show. He had some family things to take care of today. Should be back with us tomorrow. If you ever miss any part of the show, feel free. Go back to our podcast page on sacktownsports.com. You can catch up on all the latest and greatest. Chris, did we get a winner of our New Kids on the Block tickets?
Scott.
Scotty does know. Scott will be going to see New Kids on the Block. Is that, I guess that name stuck with him. I mean, they're grown men. You can't change that name. Can that be a name that's changed? You just stick with it so everybody knows who they are. They're not men now.
Well, what, don't they do the abbreviation?
NKOTB?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they do that like?
Pretty early on, yeah. I think. Yeah.
When they realized, oh, we can't go by these boys for that long.
Yeah. Who was, when you were in your youth, at maybe let's say between middle school to high school, like the really, was there a popular boy band at that time or a popular band, really super popular band amongst like classmates and students?
I would say that was around the time of Crisscross. They were pretty big.
Okay. Where, did you wear your pants backwards?
I did.
You did?
For opposite day.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a thing, right? Did schools have opposite day?
Yeah. That's right. I remember bubblegum day. The one day we were allowed gum at school.
That was a design day?
Uh-huh. You got to remember, this wasn't even the Lutheran school I was going to. This was the Baptist school I was going to.
Yeah, what happened to your school that shut down shortly after you left?
People stopped going.
That's why it shut down?
Yeah.
What is it now?
It is now a Latin, so the elementary school that I went, the elementary school or the high school?
Wait, your elementary school and high school are now gone.
Yes.
After you.
Yes. Actually.
Don't say middle school as well.
No. I went to, so from preschool to second grade, I went to a Baptist school, which is now shut down. Then I went to a Lutheran school from third to eighth grade that's now shut down. Then I went to a Lutheran high school that is shut down.
Wait, so from preschool on, there's no gaps. Every school you went to is gone.
Yes.
There's got to be something behind that.
People stopped going.
What do you mean people stopped going to school?
Like, it was a private school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I would say that's, I believe that a little bit in high school, but like grade school, you're kind of, well, I would assume you're forced to go, but not if it's private and you have to pay for it. So what are the three schools now?
What do you mean?
Like what are they current, like are they residential?
Oh,
are they
one,
a mini mall?
So the first one is being, It looks like it's being rebuilt. Like, it's been on sale for like 15 years, yeah. Just empty. So I think they're trying to rebuild it. The second one, it was part of a church and school, and it has become a Catholic church that does like Latin Mass.
Okay.
And it's huge. And it looks like it's been there for 200 years.
Okay.
And then the high school, I don't know what's being done with the high school.
How far after you were done with high school, like, you weren't the last graduating class?
No, but it was probably about 3 or 4 years after I graduated. They moved to like a smaller place in high school in Elk Grove.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, I want to say like 3 or 4, what are the like temporary, like
portables.
It was like 3 or 4 of those. And then after a few years of that, they just said, like, we're
it
just
evaporated. Yeah. What was your graduating class? How many people?
20.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I think mine was in the 4-something range, 450, 420.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know.
Yeah, 28.
Wow.
I think 28.
Chris, starting center, starting shooting guard, starting point guard.
I was on the bench.
Pitcher, first base, like Bugs Bunny, first base. Yeah. Man, goodness. All right.
That was a good thing. Like, no matter how bad you were at sports, you could make the team.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That first time I really, so, you know, growing up in Southern California, I went to a big school and our school was good and athletic, you know, we were, and I ran into a few people that I came across when I went to Davis and maybe played pickup or different things. And there'd be a couple people like, yeah, I was all state. I'm like, you were? Like, yeah, we had a small school. It's like, oh, okay. But still, that's so hard to comprehend. You're like, I don't even think you would have even remotely made our basketball team, but good for you. Enjoy those accolades. You know, that's awesome. Tonight, just one game because, you know, the Nuggets and the T-Wolves, they got done with their series pretty quickly, so they wanted to get that one started up. That was the first, second round to start. We know Minnesota won game one. Minnesota responded with just a brilliant game two. So they got a 2-0 series advantage. They have the day off today. But the one game that is going to go on tonight is the Pacers at the Knicks. I really like the Knicks right now. It's just a fun team to watch. Good style. I wouldn't be surprised if we got another close game. That one's going to be at 5 o'clock TNT tonight. I don't know that it's a must win for the Pacers because I feel like they could go home and even that thing at 2 apiece. I don't think there's a large separation between the two teams. I do like the Knicks to win this series, but would not be the slightest bit shocked if this one goes to 6 or 7 games. Indiana's really good firepower. If they can get the game more in their tone and their pace, I could easily see them winning. Point spread for today. Let's see what we got. Knicks by 4.5. Seems about right. Being at home, crazy atmosphere. We'll see if that ends up as a 2-0 Knicks lead or a 1-1 series split. Also today, baseball-wise, the Giants are back in action, taking on the Rockies. That'll be in Colorado. And that first pitch later this afternoon with the Giants going with Hicks on the mound. They're 16-21. Rockies have just been brutal this year. Only 8 wins. So the Giants need to get some work done there. And then we mentioned earlier multiple times, the A's have a doubleheader today at home. A's and Rangers get started around 12:30. The second game will follow immediately after in this 4-game set with the Rangers. Rangers getting a little separation now on the A's. So it'd be good if the A's can at least get one, if not both, to split that season series. All right. One more break for us. When we come back, it's time to bring in the guys. Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins, plus celebrity birthdays, as we get you ready for their show coming up at 10. The guys join us next here on Sacktown Sports.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories,
hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
No, not in the snow.
Snowed a couple times. I just snowed here. Last time I snowed here.
Once. Here?
You remember, I don't know if it was officially snow, but I remember going to, it was like a Kings game day. And I remember walking and there was like, I don't know if it's technically snow, but it was.
Here?
Yeah. It was maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Are you sure it wasn't hail?
It might have been hail that just hail, collected but... and had the, the snow effect.
It hailed like 2 months ago here.
Yeah. It was scary. Yeah. It was
What's going on?
A scary bad hail.
Yeah, you're ready for it. You want to see what this Sacramento summer's about.
Some like it hot, as they say.
I do.
I do too.
Yeah. I do not.
I know.
I'm going to be on the river.
Ugh, are you?
Oh, yeah. I love the river.
What do you do on the river?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, you get on a boat.
Okay.
You stand by the river.
Sounds like a great day. Yeah. Can you man the boat?
No, but by
How about
the time.
A kayak. I can picture you in a kayak.
I'm not with it. I'll do it for, relationship building, but not as a fun activity.
You can just do a river float and just kind of float down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't do tubing in the river, right?
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tubing.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
You're just
floating. A really good time.
No, you have somebody pull you.
Oh, well, okay, same idea. Well, same idea. You're just floating behind someone else's boat.
No, but you're floating quickly.
A speedboat.
Speedboat.
You're water skiing.
That's right. I don't know if I should do that with my Achilles.
Yeah.
Can't find it. I thought I had a picture of when it snowed.
Of the snow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let it snow.
Okay. What's going on, guys? What's coming up today on the show?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff. We're continuing player breakdowns for the season. Almost done with that. Today, we're doing Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. Yesterday, I did my free agent guard targets. Today, I'm doing free agent forward targets. A lot of people not excited about the guards, makes sense because I don't really think they need guards. But I don't think people understood that. There's more coming. So.
Are you guys breaking down the picture of Malik Monk golfing?
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Overreacting.
King's
that,
gear.
For sure. It's over.
Oh, yeah.
He's signed,
he's
right?
Signed. It's already happened.
He's staying. That's what. And I need to see that scorecard as well. We're gonna.
Are you questioning his game? Or
no, we're going to guess who won.
Yeah.
Keegan.
Is he about that life?
I think Keegan's the best.
Oh, Doug wasn't there, huh? I was going to say, I know you said Doug hasn't played in a while, but
yeah.
I would still have my money on Doug.
I don't know what, do you think between Monty, Wes, and Brown, are they any good?
I bet Wes is pretty decent.
Oh, you're going Monty and Wes, okay. Oh, no love for Coach
you
Brown.
You get a vest like that, you know how to
I don't
golf,
think yeah. so. Yeah, Coach Brown likes his Harley. I don't think he likes to spend time out on the range.
I would not have pictured him a Harley guy, by the way.
I wouldn't have either, but now that I see it, I could see him with the leather vest and everything. Like, he would look official.
We saw him leaving somewhere when he was still in when we were living in Oakland. He was coaching.
He was on the
Warriors.
Harley.
He left where he was in a Harley.
Oh wow! That's
and sick. I saw him get on the Harley. I said, "Is that Mike Brown?"
Yeah.
I know Jordy. Obviously, Jordy's gone now, but not gone. But in Brooklyn, he's no longer with us.
That sounds worse.
Yeah, it does. He used to talk about all the time. He would ride the scooter. He had a scooter because I guess he lived in downtown or midtown, and I guess. Jordy was quite the Fast and Furious fan, and he said he had to repair that scooter a couple times because he wasn't used to going over like the train tracks that we have downtown, and said he busted his scooter a couple times.
Putting NOS in the Vespa,
okay,
get that thing cooking.
Yeah.
I was asking Chris this earlier today because the A's have a doubleheader today. You guys ever been to a doubleheader baseball game?
No,
I don't know if I would want to.
Really?
I don't think so.
Is it a 2-for-1 ticket? As well,
I believe that
like
is
you just stay all day.
Yeah, I don't. It's not a makeup. It was a scheduled one. So,
could
I've been to
work
one that was
that
a.
You could go like if you just can't make the first one, or you. I mean, I don't see why not. You could just go.
You
to
arrive
the
when you
one.
Arrive. Yeah, if it's the fifth inning or the first inning of the second game. Yeah. No interest.
Yeah,
too long.
I don't think so.
Too long of a day.
I'd rather just do 1-9.
Okay.
Get on out of there.
You leave early, or you leave early, guy?
Depending on the
As
game.
As a non-work.
Baseball, for sure, I would consider.
Yeah.
More than any other sport, I would probably.
Depending on the game, I mean.
Didn't she leave the A's game when it was a 0-0 game?
I don't know why we're bringing up old stuff. You know, Shohei had already left the game. It was. I saw what I needed to see. The A's might have hit a walk-off. It's fine.
It might have.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Nobody's
heard
counting.
It in the car.
Yeah.
I was always rushing to bar.
Second sports level 40.
So I would leave. Yeah. So I would leave early.
Gotcha.
If they're winning, I'll leave early. If they're losing, I'll actually stay.
Yeah,
in case
take part of it.
I come back.
Okay.
Huh.
I feel like I would do the opposite.
If they're winning, I don't need to be there.
That's weird.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if they're winning by more than 3 runs.
I feel like that's
so,
why
like, if
you go.
You went to a Kings game as a non-working, it's hard because you're basically working, but you'd leave like, I don't need to see the beam. I want to go.
If they're smacking them,
yeah.
I'm out.
Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah, I feel like most people would be the opposite. Like, I'm miserable because they're losing by 20. I'm out of here.
But this is similar to what we were talking about before the Kings ended when we said, what do you think fans would rather go to? That terrible game against the Blazers where the Kings won, mm-hmm. or the good game against the Suns where the Kings lost?
Yeah. Interesting.
I just feel like by that logic, you're paying to go see your team lose. You're like, oh, the team ended up killing it. Like, that's leaving. Not, I'm leaving. I'm
I
not
mean,
here.
I'm leaving with 5 minutes left in the fourth here. I leave when, you know.
But it's got to be a blowout.
The starters come out. Yeah.
Okay.
Gotta get out of that garage. I mean, man. Gotta get out of that garage. Exactly.
Yeah. And every minute is critical.
Yeah, honestly.
No.
Yeah.
There was a Friday night game. I think in another dimension, I'm still in the garage.
That's where's Alan? He's still there.
He's still there.
Today is National. What do we got here? Have a Coke Day. Coke, Pepsi, preference.
I'm out.
You don't like Coke?
I like light sodas.
Do you get
Sprite,
the difference? I don't.
Starry.
I can
really
taste the difference, but
don't.
Not, I can, yeah. But I don't do it.
Coke in a bottle is.
I have no preference. Yeah,
I think Chris was saying Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah.
But you said Coke in a bottle.
Well, it's better as far as those two.
Yeah.
I mean,
Coke in a can, Coke in a bottle.
Yeah, Coke in a bottle. No?
You don't notice the difference? I feel like Coke in the can.
I feel like when you see Coke commercials, you think, man, that looks good.
Yeah.
And then when I get there, I say,
yeah, it's not that good.
Yeah.
I don't even try it.
National Coconut Cream Pie Day?
No.
Sounds like
a coconut cream pie thing.
National Receptionist Day.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. National Student Nurse Day and School.
Operator, sir.
Man, there's a lot of National Alphabet Magnet Day. Those only go on the fridge, right?
Mm-hmm. My school didn't have a school nurse.
Like somebody
who would just stay there all day and be a nurse? No.
Yeah, I never had a school nurse. Yeah.
Well, you had four people at your school now, we've learned.
Chris's school was only a little bit bigger than mine.
It really was. I learned this weekend.
Oh, I went too far. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, how big was your school? Christian Brothers was big, wasn't it?
It's not huge.
It's a personal question.
What, like 1,000?
No, I don't even think that.
800?
I mean, I think my graduating class, which we had a small one, but I think we were like 150 or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where'd you go?
I was hoping you didn't ask. I went to De La Salle.
Oh, yeah. How many in your graduating class?
I think that's why.
Yeah, I think it was about, it feels like it was 150 class.
Really?
Yeah, maybe 200.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize De La Salle was that
small.
You guys
really maximize your talent out
there. Also, don't quote me. Hold on.
Okay.
I'll check.
I feel like you would have to have more.
We had like
400.
We had like 450.
Really?
In graduating class, yeah.
Their class of 150 makes my class.
Yeah, apparently there's 1,000.
That's like your whole school, probably.
Yeah, 250. Yeah, 250.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I said. Again, you guys are maximizing your talent out there.
Yeah, for sure.
That's insane.
They want winners. They got winners. Mm-hmm.
All right, dangers.
It's time for celebrity birthdays. Brought to you by our friends at Crumble Cookies. Birthdays are meant to be spent with family and friends, and nothing brings family and friends together quite like a Crumble cookie. Those sound good right now.
What do we do with Chris now that he does? He get a plaque or something, Chris
Verlaine? Oh, with the four straight.
Now we're seeing somebody get to five.
Yeah.
So the record's been established. I don't even know who had three in a row, but yeah. I think we just made that up. Like, no one's ever done four.
I think a few of us have done three in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. I meant to bring this up yesterday with the Crumble Cookies because one of the names out there was Tobias Harris. And the whole thing when someone said I'd trade Tobias Harris for a box of Crumble Cookies.
Yes.
I probably would.
Well, maybe that's what it'll take.
Yeah.
Happy birthday today to Kemba
Walker.
Yes.
Best step back in the game. Kemba.
I'm going to say 37.
I actually, no. I think you're close, though. I think he's either 35 or 36. I'm going to say he's 35.
34.
Oh, I know I'm closest.
We have a correct answer. Christopher Lodge, 34 for
Kemba.
Wow.
I mean, you were pretty close, Chris.
Get out of here.
You're only 3 years off.
Happy birthday to former King, still in the league, Garrett Temple.
Huh. Oh.
Was he with Toronto?
I think he was with Toronto.
Like Chris said,
Garrett Temple. Well, now I'm all thrown off because I thought Kemba was an old man. I'm going to say Garrett Temple's 36.
Okay.
35.
37.
Christopher Lott is closest, 38 for Garrett Temple.
Oh, he's still in the lead?
Happy birthday to 49er legend Ronnie Lott.
Oh. Did we end up talking with Ronnie Lott? I think we were supposed to.
We were supposed to.
I don't think we ended up supposed to.
Oh, you would have remembered.
Really?
Yeah.
He's
great.
Is he a good guest?
Yeah.
Ronnie Lott. Ugh. I'll say quick math. 67.
I was going to say 62.
64.
65. Chris Verlon, the closest.
This guy's.
Bill Cowher.
Chris, you started.
66.
Bill Cowher.
67.
I'll say 64.
We have a correct answer. Alan Stiles, 67.
Hey. On the board.
Mike D'Antoni.
Ah, oh love defense.
68. 69. We'll do 69 for it.
66.
73.
We have a correct answer.
Probably.
Christopher Lott, 73.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me.
We out of time?
D'Antoni.
Very quickly.
Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, I saw it was his birthday today. He's either 25 or 26. I'll say 25.
He can't be 26. He's 24 because I don't want to tie with Chris.
He's 25.
He is 24 hours.
Come on!
There you go.
He's not that old. What are we talking about? Yeah. Everyone said he's so old.
All right, that's it for us for this morning show, but the fastest growing show in the world.
That's what I hear.
That's fact. It's coming your way next. Stiles and Watkins right here on Sacktown Sports.